Welcome to the End Zone Week 6 wrap-up Week 7 preview. And let's just say, I think the last time I checked, the Chiefs and the Patriots were still scoring, and Marcus Mariota is still getting sacked by the Baltimore defense, Kevin. I know. I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to leave you alone this week, because it's just getting to the point where it's just ugly. It's just ugly. Should we send you to London? Can we send you to London?
Mad at my Raiders.
I think you and everybody in Raider Nation is ready to have a bonfire of players.
All right, I'm going to say this at the beginning of the show, and then we're going to leave it at that. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, news flash, the Raiders suck. They're in a rebuilding year. Get used to that. Everyone is on the trade block. Everyone is on the trade block, if you ask me and if you understand what I'm saying. And the media will pick on every single bad thing to touch on the Raiders because there's the Raiders. And they will do that over other sucking teams. And they're going to have fun with it because people love that. So I'm not expecting any turnaround. I'm not excited about watching my team this year. I'm more excited about hanging out with my fellow Raider fans. And any news that comes out about the Raiders, which will be negative from here on out, is not going to surprise me. So if you're going to ask me if I am, what about this little negative news about the Raiders? What about this? There's so much negative news about the Raiders right now. Get in line and pick one if you really want to talk about this to listeners. We've all been through that to a certain degree with our teams, and unfortunately I'm going through that this year, and I don't have any excuses, and I'm not going to make any excuses, but I'm more excited about talking about the other teams in this league right now. I love my Raiders. I will die a Raider, but don't expect the same enthusiasm as if they were competitive this year.
Okay, two things. I don't think we can call this a rebuilding year. I think this is a teardown year. Next year starts the rebuilding.
I'm going to say I'll go half and half on that because there's a lot of young players that I think that they're looking towards to really kind of rebuild. And that hopefully in their either second and third years and stuff, they'll come around. But yes, there is a sort of Gruden purge going on. And we're going to see a lot of players part ways with the Raiders this year. So, and keep in mind, rebuilding years can go on for quite a long time.
Yeah. I think the Cardinals have been in perpetual rebuilding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the only other thing I was going to say is that's not going to, Chiefs Raiders weeks aren't going to be fun this year.
No, they will not. So have fun with that. That's going to be one sided. Just giving you a warning now. Raiders are going to lose. Raiders are going to lose.
You think?
And It even sucks for fantasy. You know, I dropped Derek Carr for Jameis Winston 2 weeks ago. Was it 1 week ago? It's interesting. I actually dropped Amari Cooper before this weekend for what's his name? The other wide receiver that we got from the Packers. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Jordy Nelson.
Yes, Jordy Nelson. That didn't work out too well. And Marshawn Lynch is the only guy I have on a couple of my teams, and because you know he's still playing with heart. So anyway, that's how bad it is.
All I'm gonna say is maybe Mahomes can get 8 touchdowns.
Whatever.
And with that, no more Raider talk, despair, Kevin's, and we will continue on as we begin the end zone. So, Kevin, let's talk about Week 6, and let's take a look at do a quick rundown of the scores of Week 6 of the NFL season. And it started with pretty much ugliness on Thursday night as the Eagles basically manhandled the New York Football Giants.
Yes. Yeah, we were expecting a little more competitiveness from the entire Giants team, but we just got a one-man team by the name of Saquon Barkley. Didn't he get 100 yards both receiving and rushing?
Something like that. It was ridiculous. It's a one-man team in New York, but we'll talk a little bit more about the Giants when we talk news. But Buccaneers at Falcons in another crazy Falcon shootout. This time the Falcons pulled it off. But I got to ask you real quick, did you see the end of that game and that final Buccaneers play that they almost pulled off?
No, I missed that. What happened?
Fourth down, there was the, like, 6 seconds left, last play of the game. They call a quarterback draw, and Winston laterals as he's getting hit, intent, and it was intentionally designed this way. It goes to Mike Evans. He kind of tips it, and DeSean Jackson, like, if it bounces another way, he picks it up and runs into the end zone. And instead, it bounces the wrong way. It goes off his hands and out of bounds.
Oh, yeah, I know. I did see that on one of the highlights. I just kind of phased it out because I had, you know. But, yeah, no, I did see that. That was – it almost like – it was like a – it was, so it was a broken play that kind of started turning into laterals.
And yeah. Just real quick, fallout from that game. A lot of people are giving the Bucs head coach a lot of heat for having such a horrible play call on the last – play of the game when you Winston had was having a pretty good game. And two, the Buccaneers fired their defensive coordinator on Monday because the Bucs have been probably the worst defense in the league. Only maybe Kansas City's been worse. But
since you're in that area and you hear a lot of Tampa Bay news, what should they have done? Because we all know what happened with the Raiders, you know, and the whole Marshawn Lynch 1 yard line. Okay. And then trying to
come on,
you're that everyone's still second guessing that 2 weeks later. But what do you think should have happened in that play?
You have Jameis Winston, who's a quality quarterback with a good arm. You have Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, and DeSean Jackson. Why are you not throwing to the end zone, especially if you have Mike Evans, who can pretty much leap over anybody?
Yeah, O.J. Howard is having a good game, too, and both of them got in for touchdowns. So, yeah, that, you know, when it comes to that goal line stuff of whether or not you should try to sneak it in, run it in, or throw it in, and if it doesn't work, it's always second-guessing for the other option that you should have done. You know, and what's interesting, too, is like when you and I'm going to give a little credit to our friend Murph when they were talking about the whole thing with Marshawn Lynch not running in. When you look at all those plays that have been designed, the favor actually works better in throwing these type of passes in, you know, and so that's why he probably would have done that again. But regarding Tampa Bay, you had all the pieces to do a throwing play. So yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. As for the Raiders at the time, it was better for them to run it because they were running the ball well at that time. So that's why people are second guessing that play. So I can understand that. Yeah. It's almost like coaches are trying to outthink and not just stick with what works.
Well, but
you know, stick with what works until it stops, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, Tampa Bay was at like about the 15 yard line. It wasn't even a goal line situation.
But still, they had those weapons.
Yeah,
that, you know, and Chris Godwin. I mean, come on, that dude's blowing up right now.
Yeah, I mean, so who knows? But moving on, the Bengals and the Steelers in a wild one, and thanks to a little bit of an illegal pick play, the Steelers got an Antonio Brown touchdown at the end of the game to take the victory from the Cincinnati Bengals. And of course, like any Steelers Bengals game, the talks of vicious hits and dirty play was quite prevalent after the game.
The Bengals just can't quite seem to get the Steelers just yet. Steelers seem to have their number, and that hasn't changed yet, no matter what is happening with the Steelers team. But the Steelers seem to be still pulling it forward. Steelers are now 3-2-1. Bengals still up, though, at 4-2.
Okay, quick question for our next game, Kevin. Is it time to start looking at the Chargers as maybe they're starting to get it? Because they manhandled a pretty solid playing Cleveland Browns team.
It hurts me to say, but to a certain degree, yes. And I think that, I think we should, if we don't touch on it in fantasy, Melvin Gordon is definitely in the top five running backs.
Yeah. Bills Texans. Nathan Peterman strikes again and costs the Bills the possibility of another win.
How hard is it to go on the free market and find another quarterback and just drop Peterman?
Well, they did sign Derek Anderson
right now. Right now, he reminds me of that. Like he's a bad luck omen right now. You know, like that unfortunate. Who is? God, I can't remember the guy's name, but so I'm not going to mention it. But it just seems like he's a. When is it time to just? They didn't pay him an odd amount of money that they owe him, right? Why are they keeping this guy?
Well, they signed veteran Derek Anderson, and I think they were planning on cutting Peterman, but then Josh Allen got hurt. So Anderson's probably going to be the starter next week. I think the only reason why Anderson didn't go in this week is because he just hadn't had enough time to learn the playbook. So
Jesus, yeah. But you know what I mean,
yeah,
right? I mean, what good has this guy done?
None. But the problem is all I hear is Peterman and I think Seinfeld, so.
Yeah.
It may be the craziest game of the day. The Dolphins beat the Bears in overtime 31-28.
Did I get an injury alert from that game?
Not that I am aware of. Oh, yes, Tannehill. Tannehill, bro. It was another chapter in the book of Brock.
I heard a defensive player got a little tweaked, but I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, he will be on the field for their game this Sunday.
Brock Osweiler came in, not only helped win this game, but did crazy numbers on fantasy. But like, you know, I don't know who that one guy would have been unless they were hurting for a quarterback. But yeah, Dolphins 4-2 now, Bears 3-2.
Yep, Albert Wilson, another big game. This guy seems to catch.
Who?
Ball. Yeah.
Who?
I know you try to forget about him. The Vikings. Adam Thielen now has 106 straight 100-yard receiving games as the Vikings handle the Cardinals 27-17. The Jets, being feisty in a shootout with the Colts, won 42-34. That game that happened in London, Seahawks 27, other team 3.
Yeah, move along.
Redskins. This was like beat the Panthers 23-17. I think this game was more interesting for all of Josh Norman's antics in that game.
What happened with that one?
Well, Josh Norman, the cornerback, used to play for Carolina, and they didn't leave on too good a term, so he was quite feisty in that game.
Yeah, okay, and he got a little revenge there.
Yeah. Todd Gurley ran all over the Broncos, and I think he's still running as the Rams beat the Broncos. The final was 23-20, but that game was not that close.
I got to ask you a question.
Yep.
But I'm going to wait till fantasy.
Okay. Cowboys, and to me, the shocker of the day, 40-7 over Jacksonville.
We did not see that coming. And I'm going to have another question during fantasy.
Yep. The Ravens sacked Marcus Mariota 11 times. Marcus Mariota was sacked 11 times. He only had 10 completions in this game. The Ravens shut out the Titans 21-0.
That was ugly. Ravens defense, it's weird. They've been going up and down. So, I mean, and when they go up, they put a hurting.
The Sunday night game, I'm going to skip because I want to make it the last game because there's a lot of things to talk about in that game. Monday night, Aaron Rodgers pulls off some Aaron Rodgers magic with a very game 49ers, and props to C.J. Beathard for playing some damn good football while Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt. But they beat the Packers beat the 49ers 33-30 in a pretty good Monday night football game.
I was at a little club concert and they had the game on in the back. And I remember before the bands went on, I saw the score that the 49ers were up. And I'm like, holy crap, are they going to win this? And then I didn't pay attention because I was obviously watching the show. But then I saw the score later on and I was like, oh, man, you can't count out Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. And then we had the Sunday night football game, which, yes, unfortunately did not end well for the Kansas City Chiefs as they lost to the Patriots 43-40 on a Gostkowski 28-yard field goal. But many are calling this right now so far the game of the season. This game was wild, Kevin.
I lost sleep staying up late watching that game. It was wow.
So obviously I'm going to have a lot of takes from this game, Kevin. But first of all, props to the Patriots. The Patriots are still probably the class of the AFC until otherwise beaten in the playoffs. But I think there were some positives the Chiefs can take out of this game. I think they proved they can hang with the Patriots. People are ragging on their defense, and rightfully so. Our defense has not been good this season. But they also stayed close with the Patriots because of the offense, and Kansas City was playing without their top two defenders. Eric Berry, who hasn't played yet this season, and it's starting to get concerning, but they were also missing linebacker Justin Houston with a hamstring injury, which greatly affected their ability to pass rush as well. And they had a couple other injuries during the game. Again, I'm not making excuses. It's the NFL, next man up. But the Kansas City Chiefs went in down 24-9 at halftime, and Patrick Mahomes was playing. You could tell he had some extra adrenaline because he missed about 3 touchdown passes in the first half by overthrowing him. But in the second half of this game, Patrick Mahomes, anybody who has any questions about him at all those questions should have been answered the way he played in the second half of this football game, Kevin.
He played with heart, that's for sure. Coming back from playing in Foxborough, like that, that definitely sends a message, and I think that if anyone had any doubts, that probably put those to rest.
And one other thing, Tyreek Hill might be the fastest human being I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that dude's got a motor, man. Jeez.
Yeah, and I...
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I want to call out the Patriots organization too. During that game, after one of the Tyreek Hill touchdowns, there was a fan in the stands who dumped beer all over Tyreek Hill and flipped the finger on him on national television. The Patriots identified that guy and have since banned him for life from Gillette Stadium.
Good. I had a big issue, and it's starting to really annoy me watching these Sunday night games. Chris Collinsworth?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, if you're listening to this, which I know you're probably not, can you please back off on the man crush of the day night that you seem to go off on every single Sunday night? I mean, we get Patrick Holmes is great, but it seems like he picks one, like whether it was Drew Brees, whoever it is, he just seems to go off and on and on, and he seems to develop this nightly man crush, and he just won't stop, and it's getting really annoying. I can't stand Chris. I cannot stand that guy.
Well, there are people who call him the pencil neck geek for a reason. So,
oh jeez, gosh, and if I'm alone in this, speak up. Let me know.
No, here's my take on Collinsworth. I do think he is a very knowledgeable announcer, but yeah, he gets a little bit carried away at times. Yeah,
he needs to dial that back a little bit. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know, I come out of this. Yes, I'm disappointed the Kansas City Chiefs lost this game, but I do feel good about the fact they went to New England, hung tough, came back. Because I'll tell you what. Over the last several years, we wouldn't have had a quarterback that would have handled coming back like that against New England. And, you know, if nothing else, I walk away feeling good that we have a quarterback for a good long time now. So I am very happy about
question
that.
Question for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where to put this in the show, so I'm going to ask now. Last week before this game, there was news that was it – going to be flexed that they were going to be or was that this week?
They were flexed in the game this Sunday. They're flexed back into Sunday night football against the game against the Bengals.
Because the reason why I'm asking is because it's not showing on our line here.
Because
they're still showing the Rams at San Francisco.
Yeah, but it has been that game has been flexed to the Sunday night game. The
okay.
NFL has announced right. that. So
we're still going to get Kansas City at home against Cincinnati on Sunday night.
Correct.
Okay.
They were talking about that during the game as well. So, but so that kind of wraps up week 6. So let's take a look at the power rankings, Kevin, because I saw these, and this is from CBSSports.com. I have some disagreements with these power rankings. Okay. Rams at number 1, fine with that. They're the only undefeated team. The New Orleans Saints at number 2.
The Patriots. Why do you have a problem with that?
Because to me, the Patriots or the Chiefs should be the number 2 team. I don't think the Saints haven't beat anybody of quality yet.
That is a good argument. That is a good argument.
And they lost to the Buccaneers.
What week was that?
That was week 1.
Yeah. So, but that was week 1.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff's changed since week 1. Yeah, I could see that. Personally, but let's look at it this way. Put up the Chiefs against the Saints right now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Playing a game. I think the Saints have a good chance of winning that game.
Oh, I'm
so
not saying...
that's why they're up there. Saints against the Patriots. Put them up against that right now. I could see the Patriots being number 2 and Saints being 3. But I would put my money on the Saints beating the Chiefs right now.
See, there's no more in me too, but I would still take Kansas City over the Saints. But that's and then I'll be the first to admit there's blinders on there and there's home bias there. But, I mean, I have no problem with the Saints being in the top 4. I think if nothing else, the Patriots should be above the Saints.
If the Chiefs had won that game, you wouldn't be worried about that. But the Chiefs lost that game.
Right.
And it's because people are picking apart that defense, I think. Yeah. And that's where I think Drew Brees would come in and dissect that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just speculating of the reason why the Saints are at number 2, coming off a bye right now. But they do have a tough road game this week. Yeah. So,
and the Saints defense actually hasn't exactly been world beaters either this season.
But when it comes to a shootout, you got to go with the guy who's definitely proven himself.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put the money on that.
Yeah. So we got the Chiefs coming in at 4, the Ravens coming in at 5, the Chargers at 6, Pittsburgh at 7, the Vikings at 8, the Redskins at 9, the Bengals at 10. I know the Bengals lost to the Steelers, but I would still put the Bengals ahead of the Vikings and the Redskins.
Definitely above the Redskins. Vikings, yeah, I would agree with you there.
I would still punish the Vikings for that Bills loss. If you're a quality team, you don't lose that way to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, they were definitely looking ahead on that one.
The Dolphins in at 11, the Bears in at 12, the Eagles at 13, the Packers at 14. I am just not impressed with the Packers. There's a lot of missing there. The Panthers at 15, the Jaguars have dropped all the way down to 17. The Titans are falling back to earth. And after that, it's just the hodgepodge of things that the Cardinals bringing up the rear at number 32. So that hits your power rankings. But let's talk a little NFL news, Kevin, because there's been a few interesting tidbits this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna combine two things here because I'm going to kick him off Fantasy Island too, because Devontae Freeman, who's done nothing all season, is now officially on IR after having groin surgery. So,
yeah, he was a top pick for fantasy, but he just did not he's just not panned out this year.
He just it's been healthy. Atlanta, I think Atlanta's season is done. They pulled out a buck against the Buccaneers, but I don't think they can afford many more losses with the way the Saints are playing in that division.
It's kind of sad because, you know, you're always kind of wondering, the microscope is always on the team that's going to be hosting the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to be playing in their own field. So, yeah.
That usually does not happen that way. But here's one I love, Kevin. The Giants owner called out Odell Beckham Jr. and said, basically, shut up and play.
Yeah, you just got paid, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and the team's struggling right now. And, you know, Odell loves when he's not getting the ball or frustrated, and he loves to punch stuff on the sidelines. You just got paid, dude, so be quiet and do your job.
Odell Beckham is probably, in my opinion right now, Terrell Owens dialed up to 20.
I wouldn't go that far, dude. Terrell Owens still has yet to be eclipsed from the antics that he did. I wouldn't say that. I would say he's Terrell Owens' cadet, but I would not say he's surpassed Terrell Owens.
Okay. Well, what was
I can't think of another receiver that has surpassed Terrell Owens, to be honest with you, right now.
So, an interesting one for NFL drafts, and I know this perks your interest, Kevin. Top prospect, and a lot of people considered him maybe the top pass rusher coming into this NFL draft. Nick Bosa, who plays for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and of course is the younger brother of Chargers lineman Joey Bosa. He had core muscle surgery earlier in the season and has decided to pull out of school, focus on healing, rehab, and getting ready for the NFL draft. And I think this is going to be a trend that's going to start happening with these top picks that are maybe get injured or something during their college season, and they're going to pull out of school and not risk it anymore.
What does that happen with his education then?
He basically gives up his scholarship. By pulling out of school, he probably loses his scholarship.
So he doesn't graduate.
Well, I mean, he can go back to school and pay for it. I think he'll be able to afford it.
I was just curious how that happens, but I know you got, when you're in a position like that, you got to protect your health and get your draft. I mean, I'm curious to see how this is going to hurt his draft, because who else is in his league when it comes to defensive players?
Unless he get Kevin, he'll be a top five pick. But even now, a lot of people said he would have been a top three pick last year if he could have come out. So this is the only sad thing that makes me angry about this is basically there was somebody who could have used that scholarship and played for the team this whole year. And instead it went to this guy who's like, no, I'm going to look out for myself in my NFL career. So they lost a scholarship. So that's, I have a problem with that, but that's a whole other thing. On a sad note.
Well, right now, the way things are looking, the Raiders may be picking within the top five.
Yeah. But On a sad note, Kevin, Paul Allen, the owner of the Seattle Seahawks and the NBA's Portland Trail Blazers, and obviously also one of the co-founders of Microsoft, passed away. It was about a month ago he announced he had a recurrence of cancer that he had fought several years ago, and he must have been pretty far along because it declined rapidly. And you know what? This makes me sad because he was one of the better owners in sports, period.
Yeah, and interesting thing, I did not realize this. He bought the team, what was it, the early 90s
yes.
from the previous owner? Mm-hmm. And apparently, and I didn't remember this, but apparently at the time, the previous owner was looking to move the Seahawks to California.
Yeah, there was a big issues with the Kingdome at the time, and Seattle's had a history of not wanting to build new stadiums. That's how they lost the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah.
And yeah. So Paul Allen, who had previously had already owned the NBA's Portland Trail Blazers and kept them in Portland, bought the Seahawks with probably intention to keep the Seahawks in Seattle. So he built quite the organization there because the Seahawks were a mess when they were sold. They were they were bad. And so, you know, he built an organization, hired Pete Carroll. You know, and he was one of the class owners of the league. He was always doing a lot of charity work, things like that. So our condolences to the Allen family and to all everybody who knew him in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep.
Well, let's talk some injuries, Kevin, because there's a couple others besides Devonta Freeman. I think the next biggest one would be Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, who injured his elbow. And the Bills, obviously, with their number one pick, are going to play on the side of caution. Looks like it's a sprained unilateral collateral ligament in his elbow. They were sending the MRI to Dr. James Andrews, which you never want to hear, but it sounds like it's more of a sprain than anything. They're just getting a second opinion. He's going to be out a couple of weeks. Bills did sign Derek Anderson last week. I'm sure he will be the starter because nobody wants to see Nathan Peterman back in at quarterback for the Bills.
No. Gosh.
We discussed
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. That, and the fact is, Sean McVay said he'll be out. It's a week-to-week basis, which is amazing because that was a very ugly knee bend in that game.
Yeah. Could have been worse, man.
I got to talk to, I know you don't want to talk about your Raiders, but I got to talk about the concussion Amari Cooper got because I'm very upset. I saw that play on Red Zone when it happened. And for the NFL to say, we're looking out for our players and calling all these helmet-to-helmet hits and not to throw a flag on that play was ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't remember the player that made the hit on Amari, but I hope that he gets a letter in the mail.
Yeah.
And he should be suspended because that was a cheap shot.
Yeah.
But you know, it's unfortunately, it's one of those things that have always worked against the Raiders. You know, if the Raiders had made that hit, they would have been flagged.
You know, I'm not going to say necessarily it was a cheap shot because it was also a very bang, bang play. He shouldn't, I need to see it in slow motion, and I haven't seen it in slow motion. So, but from what I saw, it was like he had kind of squatted down and was pushing himself up. Cooper was coming down. It looked ugly. And I don't think these guys intentionally are trying to go for head-to-head hits, but sometimes it happens. But either way, he should be fine because you've got to be a little more careful than that. So, but you know what? I think that kind of wraps up the news, the injuries.
But I got a question for you.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to ask you about Eric Berry. He just seems to be questionable and he's not playing every week. What is going on there?
Okay. So my understanding is, of course, Eric Berry tore his Achilles tendon last year mm-hmm. and the first game of the season. That's why he's been out. And in two
Oh, hold on though. He's been on the active roster though, right?
Well, let me explain. Cause I do have an answer for this. The issue with Eric Berry is he's fighting bone spurs in his ankle. And the problem is he can't push off his leg because of the bone spurs. It's extremely painful. They have been slowly doing procedures to get these spurs to break up and go away, but it's just time consuming because how the procedures go, it just breaks them up and they have to break them up more and break them up more. And the Chiefs are, with Eric Berry's injury history with Achilles, the Chiefs are erring on the side of caution, which right now they haven't really needed him, but I think the plan is probably when the Chiefs have their bye week, because their next three games, they've got Cincinnati, Denver, or the next four games, it's Cincinnati, Denver, Cleveland, and Arizona. I think they're going to try to get through that run without Eric Berry and have Eric Berry back for the last half of the season in the playoffs. So okay. I mean,
because I know how important he is to you, and he obviously is a leader of that defense, but it's just obviously they could definitely use him. I don't know if it'll turn around that whole defensive issue. As long as you guys, your offense is keeping you guys in these games, but it sounds like a little leadership on the field like that might spark something. Yeah.
The other thing, there is another safety who's due back in about 2 more weeks by the name of Daniel Sorensen, who was one of the starting safeties for the Chiefs last year, and he was actually kind of a ball hawking safety, and he will be a big help coming back too. But we'll see what happens. But before we get into looking ahead to next week and our fantasy news segment, let's listen to a few other things here on the Fandom Podcast Network, and then we will be right back after this break.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. Also, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we discuss all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating the cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. The End Zone, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery and the Orville podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast, if you're a hard rock music fan, the Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, as we discuss all things Doctor Who, past and present. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Instagram, we are at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and support the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
So let's take a look ahead to the Week 7 matchups, Kevin.
Oh, yes.
And it starts with a clunker on Thursday night. Denver at Arizona. Geez.
Can we flex this one?
Yeah.
Who picked this game? Well, Denver at Arizona.
Yeah.
I think
people thought Denver were going to be better this year, and I thought people thought Arizona would be a little bit better this year, but yeah. No.
I'm just going to go on record and say I am not going to watch this game.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care.
Yeah. And let's see. So then we go to London again. With the Chargers versus the Titans. It's the Titans. The Chargers should win this game.
Yeah, that line, 6.5 points. Yeah, I don't know about that.
New England at Chicago. I just don't think Chicago has the horses.
That will be a big test for Chicago, specifically their defense. See if Matt can get to Brady, but see if Mitchell Trubisky can keep it going. So, I'd actually watch this game.
Yeah, there's enough intrigue there to see it. We've got Cleveland at Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield versus Jameis Winston. It's kind of one of those games that's like you're not sure what to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to think of a comment and I couldn't think about it. Yeah,
it's just like you're not. It could be highly entertaining. It could be quite ugly. One or the other. In a game where it's like, do we really care? Detroit at Miami. Carolina at Philadelphia is a little interesting. I think those are two kind of teams still trying to kind of figure themselves out. Buffalo at Indianapolis. Okay, moving along. Now on the line list, it is listed as a 1 o'clock start, but it is our Sunday night game as it's been flexed. Cincinnati at Kansas City, big game for Kansas City because in the last couple of years, Kansas City gets off to these hot starts and then they go on a bit of a bumpy ride. It's a little different Kansas City team with Patrick Mahomes. I'm hoping that they can turn it around. This is a big game at home against a potential playoff team in the Cincinnati Bengals. So big game for Kansas City. Should be fun. Mahomes, if nothing else, between Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs are fun to watch. Vikings.
They are.
Yeah. Vikings at Jets. This actually has a little bit of interest to it. The Jets aren't playing bad football, Kevin.
Yeah, their defense is playing okay. And, you know, if the Jets are competitive, it's tough for any team to go in there, I think, except if you're a team led by Brady.
Yeah.
But Minnesota, yeah, this is these are the games that Minnesota has to win to try and stay in that tough NFC North division, you know?
And in the battle of the 500 division, where three of the four teams are 3-3, Houston at Jacksonville.
We didn't see this coming during this time of the year, did we?
No. That's going to be a strange game. Those AFC South games are always bizarre. Strength against strength. New Orleans at Baltimore. Offense versus defense. This is going to be really interesting.
Yes, it will be. That'd be a fun game to watch.
Dallas at Washington. Battle for the lead in the NFC East. Do either of these teams really excite you, Kevin?
No. Is this really battle for the lead? And it's not battle for the lead in the NFC East, is it?
Yep, it is.
Gosh, I don't care.
The game that was flexed out of the Sunday night game, the Rams at San Francisco. The Rams should handle this, but I got to give San Francisco credit. They've been playing competitive football without Jimmy G.
This is true.
And in a dog of a football game on Monday Night Football, the New York Giants at the Atlanta Falcons.
A game I probably will not be watching unless I'm bored, but I doubt it. I got stuff going on.
And on bye this week, we have Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Seattle, and Oakland, where the bye is favored over Oakland. Sorry, I had to sneak it in.
Nice. Yeah, they'll lose that one, by the way. I got a question for you. I've been kind of joking about this at work, but I actually don't know the answer to this because I've been having fun at my own Raiders' expense. Can a team legally forfeit?
I don't think so.
Because I was just like, you know, the Raiders should have just shown up going, no, you guys can have this.
Why are you saying they're going
to forfeit? We're not going to be ready to play.
Are you going to say they're going to forfeit to the bye?
No, I was just, it was like, it was almost like they weren't ready to play that game, you know, and I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. So it's on to some fantasy football, or as we like to call it here at the End Zone, our top-notch, mediocre fantasy football advice. So, of course, it starts, as always, with our Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award of the Week.
Did you say Man Crush?
Man Crush.
Okay. All right.
For me, it starts with the guy who ran roughshod over the Denver Broncos and leads the NFL in touchdowns, Todd Gurley.
Mine's going to be Saquon Barkley.
Yep, that's a good pick as well.
Over 200 all-purpose yards, 100 receiving, 100 rushing. The only bright spot right now, playing his rookie butt off right now. Both picks are good, though. Todd Gurley is just crazy. So I got a question. Is there and I want to kind of tie this into another thing because it was a kind of interesting topic. If you were to look at the premier running backs that are right now, if the draft were to be held right now, knowing what we know now, Todd Gurley's still number one, right?
Oh, yeah. In fact, this was a topic I had brought up for our fantasy segment this week as far as who is right now probably the premier player in fantasy football. And I think, truthfully, it's either got to be Todd Gurley or Patrick Mahomes.
I can't argue that right now, but let's stick with the running backs right now. Mm-hmm. The other running backs right now, I would have to say Melvin Gordon.
Yep.
Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
And, of course, Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, and Kamara, it's hard to say because now that Mark Ingram's back, he's going to be he even saw a little bit of a drop-off last week when Ingram's first game back.
Yeah, but who else you got to throw into that top five?
Right now, It's hard to say. This has been a very weird year for fantasy football because there's only been a very handful of standout players. And there's a lot of players who were expected to do big things. They're not putting up bad numbers, but they're not putting up the numbers they expected. Kareem Hunt comes to mind, and I think he's more of a victim of the fact that they're just so pass-happy in Kansas City right now. Tyreek Hill is having a monster season at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas has got to be the man, though. That guy is just... Him and Adam Thielen are just bawling out right now.
Thielen, jeez, yeah. he was almost my man crush, but you know, I had to give it up for Saquon.
Yeah. So Kevin, it's time to expel somebody from Fantasy Island, because we've talked about the good, we got to talk about the bad. And I have, you've got to, I've got,
and there you have the facts of life.
Yeah, exactly. But there is one person who, yeah, he,
normally we would say welcome to Fantasy Island, but these players, you are expelled from Fantasy Island.
Exactly. Kevin, my pick is easy this week. Derrick Henry of the Tennessee Titans is expelled from Fantasy Island.
If we haven't already, I would say, and it saddens me to say this, and I can't remember if we've talked about him or not, but Larry Fitzgerald.
And that's not his fault, rookie quarterback.
Doesn't matter. Talent. It doesn't matter. If it's the same thing right now, Odell Beckham performance as well, because of that quarterback situation. We can't say it's not their fault, but I'm sorry. I love you. You're, as a player, you're a great guy, but I'm sorry, Fitz, you're done. I'd also like to say, anyone on the Raiders except for Marshawn Lynch.
What about Jared Cook?
He took a step back, and he's only in the talk of staying on teams because the tight end position is so hurting right now.
Yeah.
But if you look at him right now, I'd rather have O.J. Howard. If you were to give me O.J. Howard or him, I would take O.J. Howard or, you know, these other players. But maybe just because the tight end pool is so sad, you keep Jared Cook. But everyone else, fire sale.
Well,
get rid of him.
So bringing up O.J. Howard is a good thing to lead into what are our top waiver wire pickups of the week, because a lot of people had cut O.J. Howard or...
Hold on, wait. Are we done? Are we done with the getting rid of people from Fantasy Island? We have more.
I'm good with my Derrick Henry pick as my man to be booted off Fantasy Island.
I'm about done with Quincy Yuenwa.
He's been injured too, so
doesn't matter.
Kevin is
what's
vicious.
He doing?
Kevin is vicious.
Doing anything?
He's vicious.
Sorry. If you're hurt, you're done. Devontae Freeman, done. You know, sorry.
I kicked him off of Fantasy Island earlier in the news segment. So,
you know, I mean, who else have you dropped in your fantasy league because they're not doing well?
Well, one guy I dropped and then he turned around and had a huge game was Peyton Barber.
Yeah, no, right. We dropped Kenyon Drake, right? He came back to earth again this year.
Yeah.
He's done. I don't know what to do of him. There was another receiver. Oh, Corey Davis from Tennessee. Done.
You know what? I'm not going to kick him off yet. He's had some good, it depends on the type of league you're in. If you're in a PPR league, he's actually been pretty good for you. He's more of a, but
anyone, let's just say Titans. Yeah. Let's get you
anyone
off
right on now. Titans offense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Just throw the whole team off. Let's expel them.
Okay.
Okay. Now we can move along.
Okay. Well, you mentioned OJ Howard and he is my top pick for waiver wire pickups this week. A lot of people have been hesitant on the Tampa Bay tight ends because they have two good ones in Howard and, Brate. And a lot of people were jumping all over Cameron Brate with the return of Jameis Winston. Cause Brate's been one of his favorite targets so far in his career, but OJ Howard, big man.
I got to pick up.
Okay.
And I'm taking a chance on this.
Uh-huh.
Taking a chance. Ito Smith.
Good.
Ito Smith.
Good call, especially with now Freeman out.
Yes. He's not getting the yardage and the carries, but he's getting some touchdowns.
Yep.
But I think that he's going to get a little more work. So, yeah, I'm just saying. And, of course, Marlon Mack is back. I think he's going to be the bell cow for Indianapolis now. Instead of the other rookie who I played in one game, he did well, and now he sucked it up.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out the one because it looks like he's starting at least his hot run for about 3 or 4 weeks, which he does every year. Cole Beasley of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not sold on him yet.
He goes for about a four-week run, and it looks like he might be starting that now.
I need at least 2 weeks of good productivity before he gets on my thing. But I want to right now, this guy, I've picked him up in one or two leagues, Taylor Gabriel, wide receiver for Chicago. PPR too, crazy. Do we need to say also we expelled I'm sorry, I'm having a brain fart. Fitzgerald. Is there another pass catcher that we need to look at now? Christian Kirk for Arizona.
Also Tyrell Williams of the Los Angeles Chargers.
That guy. That guy.
Three catches, 119 yards, two touchdowns, and I'm beating out five Cleveland defenders.
Also, Chris Godwin for Tampa Bay, dude.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who's throwing, he's getting the ball, apparently.
And I'm going to go with a guy who I think is a worth investment, because I think later on in the season he could be a steal at running back, because I think he's going to start getting more carries, is Nick Chubb in Cleveland. This is the time to pick him up and stash him.
What have you seen to make you want to do that, though?
If you've watched the last couple of games, he's been a lot more explosive than Carlos Hyde when he's gotten the chance.
Okay.
The only thing really preventing him right now is more the head coaching of Hugh Jackson than anything else.
Nah, gotcha.
So those are going to be our hot waiver wire pickups of the week. But, Kevin, I know you may not want to talk about this, but let's talk about our own fantasy football leagues and how we did this week.
Gosh, I did not have a good week.
Well, I went 3-0 in my three leagues.
I have five leagues, and I went 1-5. It was bad.
I got lucky this week. I had some guys really go off. Todd Gurley, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. Believe it or not, Jameis Winston and Peyton Barber in one of my leagues, in my CBS Sports League. They carried me to victory.
Having Drew Brees in the bye hurt, what did I have in my NFL league? Jarvis Landry, nothing. Odell Beckham, nothing. John Brown hurt me. And this whole thing with Alex Collin and Javoris Allen, Buck Allen, I have on my NFL league. I don't know which one to play anymore. Are they going to go with Alex Collins now? I don't know. Which means that Buck Allen's now going to do well. And I can't put them both together with the other players that I have, because I have Ezekiel Elliott. But it looks like I'm getting rid of Nyheim Hines, because I think Marlon Mack's going to be the guy. And Quincy Unua, negative points I think I got with him with his injury as well. Calvin Ridley got injured. And Doug Baldwin, now he's on a bye.
So. Well, he's still been injured too. But you've been bit by the injury bug pretty bad this year. I actually made the bold move of starting Jameis Winston over Aaron Rodgers in my CBS Sports League, and it paid off. Because, thank you, Atlanta Falcons defense, for being in the Atlanta Falcons defense.
Yes, good call on that. And I got to give a shout-out to Jennifer. Jennifer, if you're watching. I went in at I went in the ESPN League. I was at 3-2. To her team was at 1-4, and I scored 245 points, but she just killed. Her team went off. She had 267 points. Of course, she had Tom Brady, Todd Gurley, Tevin Coleman, Robert Woods, and Devin Funches decided to show up, and Rod Gronkowski, and Tariq Cohen, and Steven Gaskett. She had all the right players.
Yeah.
This week that just took off.
I have to call, speaking of which, I have a fantasy football somebody I have to call to the mat a little bit. And
what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Okay,
I don't understand. That's a wrestling term, so speak non wrestling.
No, it's not just a wrestling term. They use it for boxing and stuff like that too. But there's something in fantasy football league that just always bothers me. I can understand having a player get injured and you don't get to substitute for him in time. That I get. But when you know your player is on bye week, there is no excuse for not putting somebody else in your starting lineup. And even though it worked out advantageous to him, Cat Cedar, I'm calling you out for leaving Michael Thomas in your starting lineup even though he was on bye week. That's just lazy
and
fantasy football.
He still beat me because all of my players sucked it up. So he played. He had two players. One that was injured, and one.
He had Chris Thompson, who didn't play because he was injured, and that kind of came up at the last minute. But you knew you had Michael Thomas on bye week. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah. Nope. Yep. Cat. Pay attention, man.
In fact,
if you want to continue, I
am going to go to Commissioner Kevin Reisel and say he should be ordered to forfeit that game for pulling that.
He's going to get a warning. Let's just say that.
Okay. So now we are going to hit to the portion that will brighten Kevin's football weekend, because we're going to talk about our Kevin versus Kyle head-to-head.
Hold on. I still got one fantasy thing that I want to bring up to you.
Okay.
People are talking. Jags not as good as people were drafting them.
Truthfully, I think it's a combination of a couple of things. Their offense has been terrible, and the defense is on the field quite a bit, and I think they're getting worn down. And two, there's no excuse for what happened against Dallas. But their pass defense is actually very good. Their run defense is terrible right now. They let Ezekiel Elliott run wild on them. And Kareem Hunt had a pretty good day against them too, so...
Yeah, it seems to be a trend where people get the top defense from last year and the defense doesn't keep it going. And there's it seems like, too, a lot of the defenses in fantasy, there's maybe one or two that are sort of consistent, but right now it's just like one week they do great, next week they suck. Next week they do okay, next week they do and it's just it's not the Jags of last year. We don't seem to have that team right now.
Okay, well, wait. I have a question for you, Kevin. Does really anybody play defense in the NFL anymore when you look at the scores every week?
It's a good point.
So
good point. Yeah.
But anyway, now we are going to get to the point of Kevin's one feel-good thing where he can, you know, even though I'm having all my success with the Chiefs, he can pound me this week because I will be glad to admit he kicked my butt in our head-to-head challenge this week.
Yeah, I did. I had a good week in that. Of course, reminder, this is our weekly pick game where we keep track of each of the we pick each game. Each game's worth a point, and someone gets a team and the points, and we play against those, play with those points, of course, seeing whether or not our points will cover or not. And then we have a fun weekly we pick an underdog team that we took with the points, and we pick one of them as an upset win, and we keep track of that. I got my pick of the week, which was Pittsburgh over Cincinnati. And we went even on two games with the point spread that we had. So those were both a push. But I ended up winning 11-2 overall. And so I jump up. Now I'm up by a total of 11 points.
Yeah.
On you right
this
now.
This was the week the point spread beat the living you-know-what out of me.
This was the week the point spread worked for me. Yeah. Funny how that kind of evened out there that way.
But as Kevin well knows, if he went 11-2 this week, the worm could turn and he could go 2-11 next week, the way the NFL goes.
Yeah. I have a rhythm, though, to try and avoid that. I may have a bad week from time to time, but I'm not going to tell you how I do that. So,
the webcam I've placed in his.
As if Bob is listening, Bob would say, "So when you make a deal with the devil, is the whole soul required or just part of it?"
Kevin, I know the truth. It's the quarter method.
Oh, flipping a quarter, right?
Let's be honest here. So.
But as I was telling you off of mic, Bob and I, who have been doing this since 1990 or 91, every year, and we play for that dollar. That's the prize, by the way. The loser has to find a brand new $1 bill and brag about how awesome the winner is on it and put it in a little frame. We've been doing this for that many years, and going into this last week, I was up by 30 points, and we couldn't remember when anyone was up by that amount before. And so, but he was able to win, was it 8-7? So now I'm only up by 29. He was able to avoid the more than 30 difference right now. So we'll see how that changes next week. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I wish you luck. I do not want to see you hit 30. So you need to 11-2 him. That's all I'm saying. Well, with that, Kevin, I think we've covered about everything that's going on in the NFL. Do you have any final points to bring up?
I do. I want to give a shout out and some love to all of my friends that went to London this weekend for the Raiders. And I want to give a shout out to the Silver and Black UK fan club, as usual, even though just like the last time that I went to see the Raiders play in London, they lost. They stunk it up to Miami, and Dennis Allen got fired on the way home. They still put on a great events for all the fans that came from around the world. Had a lot of friends that came stateside that went there. My buddy King, out of Tennessee, King Louis, finally got to meet up with Stevie McLeod. They've been online Facebook friends for a while now, and been, you know, trading gifts for each other. And it was really nice that Stevie and his wife and his daughter met up with them in London and showed them around, had a great, great time. So thank you to the McLeods for that. And again, the Silver and Black UK, they put on some great events to entertain all the Raider fans that came. They had a Jack the Ripper tour on the Thursday night. They had a great party on Friday night. They, a bunch, like over 80 of them, went to one of the local, one of the oldest, I think, soccer teams that were playing in England. They went and showed up for that. Got to get on the field. My buddy, Raider pimp Ben Newsom, got to practice and hit a goal. It was a lot of fun. They had a great brunch party, and then afterwards, the next day, they all did great tours, and it was just fun seeing all my Raider friends over there taking advantage of Europe either before or after the London visit. And you know, it's interesting too, because I remember myself after that loss, some people saying, "Oh, I bet you wasted a lot of money doing that." And I, you know, and it's not about the game, you know, it's about the friendships that you acquire, the family that you meet over there, the experiences, knowing that, you know, a good chance the Raiders were going to lose. A lot of these people going in, they didn't damper their spirits about enjoying their time and, you know, creating a bond with the wonderful world that is Raider Nation. And I just want to say it was fun seeing those guys celebrate that on social media. So thank you to everyone for doing that.
Now, I do have a question, Kevin. There's no truth to the rumor that they're just going to stay in London and be the London Raiders for the rest of the season.
If you see what the Raiders have done to London has done to the Raiders, I don't think that'll happen. But there's still, unfortunately, they're still going to ship the Raiders to Mexico and London and take away a home game. They always seem to screw the Raiders that way.
Well, see, I think the NFL needs to adopt a new rule. They need to start a London game in week one, and whoever loses has to stay in London until they win a game.
I want to see them send the Patriots over there. I want to see, and I want to see the Patriots lose a home game doing that. That's not going to happen. There's favoritism there. Like Green Bay, I want to see them lose a home game. You know, these top tier teams, but that's not going to happen. That's one thing I hate about the NFL.
Well, pretty soon I think it's going to be the London Jaguars anyway. Just a little inside information.
They have a lot. They've been rallying that for quite a while, and the Regent Street fair that they have there with all the NFL hoopla. They're always the Jags always have a huge showing there, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. But you know what? Shout out to the Raider fan for representing in London. I got to give it. You guys do try.
And by the way, still wearing my Raider hat while we're podcasting. Not giving up. Still love Raider Nation.
Wait. I do have a message for you, Kevin. My dad said if you're good, you can still get on.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Nice try, Dad Wagner. Nice try.
He said it out of love. You know it was all from love.
I know. So. Yeah, not going to happen, but I love you.
Yeah, with that, I think we're going to join Tyreek Hill and Rob Gronkowski and every other player in that game as they just made continuous trips into the end zone.